Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still Experience Grind with Kyle and Sean.
Man, can you even believe those Beer Me boys?
I don't want to say that they ape our style, but I will say that they Donkey Kong our style.
Yeah. Oh, nice. 64 mm-hmm. bits.
DK. I never played DK64, man.
Neither have I.
No.
I don't know. That's not my thing. With where we're going for this month, it just felt like that's what I needed to do. Maybe I could have, did something with a country or something. But sure. It felt right. Mm-hmm. Seriously, do you think this is revenge for us absolutely not at all jacking the rating system?
It's funny you mentioned the rating system that we totally did not steal from the Beer Me Boys.
Totally.
We totally made it up independently because, coincidentally, they're having their kids' movie month the same month that we are, which is this month. Surprise, listeners, if you couldn't tell from the title of this episode. Yeah, we're doing kid movies all this month. We're going to have to watch and see if they do anything that we do because we'll have to zig and zag around him. I already know my second movie choice, by the way. And listeners, if you didn't know, this choice was my choice. Then we'll do Sean, then me again, and Sean will close us out this month.
It actually lines up for those that do not know. It actually, our weeks coordinate or coincide with our birthdays. Actually, we have five weeks this month, so
you're
going to have a third one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a blind draw out of a hat.
Yeah, that could be fun. Yeah, we'll have to go and see where that is. Honest to God, you sent me that message on Facebook earlier. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. And it was a screen cap of what they had put up. And man, in my head, I had seen earlier the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids post. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh man, I remember that from when I was a kid. That's dope. But then I didn't read it at all. So it's really funny that that's the way that it's working out. But it's funny how that just goes.
But on the subject of their rating system that they ripped off from us, our patented, trademarked kick-ass-ometer.
Yeah.
I was thinking, it'd be a good one to maybe try to make one for this month's movies too. But then I was thinking it's probably not a good idea to have a rating system called a kid-ass-ometer.
Yeah, I feel like we could have gone really anywhere.
Yeah, I was just laughing at the idea of a kid ass ometer.
I will let you laugh at that. I feel like a nostalgia meter.
Sure, of course. Yeah. I could have done it. I really just wanted to make the joke about kid ass ometer as a rating system and how we can't use it. I was laughing all day. I was like, I should send that to Sean. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, that'll be funny. I'll just drop that on the show.
I'm glad that you did wait until the show because I was trying to think of one mm-hmm. while watching this. And I don't know how, with action movies, it's so easy. You have mm-hmm. the categories that you're always looking for, the over the top shit, the booties, the muscles, the kills, what are you doing in this?
I feel like the one staple of all kids' movies is parental strife, either in the idea of parents divorced, as in this movie. The general favorite is parent dies. That way there's an absent parent and the pain, but you don't have the divorce aspect, which, especially in the 90s, got muddy. And for some reason, it's coming back around because of these fucking dipshits. Oh, divorce, oh, it's evil. Oh, dude. I would like to KI double hockey stick so many fucking people.
Yeah.
Just straight up, man. I would rampage out like I'm fucking a giant lizard and you're a giant ape in a 1989 NES port of an arcade game.
The game's not very good.
Not really.
I went back to it. I loved that game mm-hmm. as a kid. I went back to it a couple years ago, I think for a Nerdy Thursday episode. It's not good.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that game,
because I was
that's one of those nostalgia glasses ones where you're like, you remember it being so much more fun than it is.
It's so basic, man. Literally, all you do is punch buildings, which is cool for 10 minutes.
Yes.
But that tread wears pretty thin pretty quick.
which is convenient because like I didn't have the game. And so I would go over to friends who had much more games than I did in much a bigger variety. So we had only spend like 10, 15 minutes, you know, the ADHD. Oh, I just did this for 10 minutes, this 10 minutes. So when you sit there and play for like an hour, you're like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. This sucks.
This is bullshit.
Yeah. But anyways, Kyle is in an absolute healthy mental state. Don't worry. He's not going on a rampage, folks.
I actually am not. I was in a weird state all day. Like, I think we have heightened pollen around here and my head has been fucked up. Like, not even sinus wise. I've been breathing fine through my nose, but like all day I just felt drained and groggy. I call it float. It's almost like my head is like a balloon.
Sure.
It's been a terribly long day. So,
yeah.
But then I don't know. I got real happy walking upstairs, getting ready to talk to you about this movie.
I'm very excited. I got home from work. This has been a hell of a summer. Today was much better than last week. last week was a rough week, as listeners might remember. Today was fine. I got home, watched the movie. Spoilers, I enjoyed the movie. And I'm very excited to talk to you and spend the next 5 weeks talking about movies like this from our childhood. So it's not just kids' movies. I think where we are leaning more into like movies from our childhood. Are we not?
Or yeah. Is it just that kind was my of idea.
Dipping into a
actually
a pot.
I don't know. I in my mind, it was 90s kids movies because that's what I grew up with. At first, sure. I was specifically focused on sports flicks. But then I was like, there's actually so many more. And I like when I sent you the list that we were looking off of, as soon as I saw today's, I was like, oh, I remember that movie. Let's do that.
Yeah. I forgot what this was. I don't remember what I sent you, but it sounded familiar. And then the second that I typed it into Google, the first image that popped up, I was like, oh, I remember that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
So this is one that you saw as a kid?
I made the realization halfway through this movie that I saw this in theaters.
Wow. Okay. I was not that far into it.
Yeah.
I definitely rented this a lot. I think this was one that was maybe a couple years below where sure. I was when it came out, but because I had a younger sister, I think it was one that got rented, and I remember watching it and also liking it. Also, I'm going to come out and say it. I fucking love Chevy Chase. Mm-hmm. Always have, always will. People say he's an asshole. I don't care. I don't deal with him, and I like his movies.
You know, it's I enjoy him as well. And you can sit there, you can say things about Chevy Chase, you can say things about Harrison Ford, all of these mm-hmm. people that people talk about being difficult to work with or they're assholes or whatever. I enjoy Chevy Chase and like everything that he's in. And it's like some people will let that mar their enjoyment of whatever movie that they're watching that contains that person. I don't care. Don't really care.
Same, especially in these regards.
Yeah, I thought he was jumping ahead again. I thought he was fantastic in this movie. I didn't realize this was Jonathan Taylor Thomas's first, like this was his premier film role.
Yeah, he'd had done Lion King.
Really? What was he in Lion King?
He's young Simba.
What?
Yeah, no, you did not know that JTT is the voice of young Simba?
I'm fucking fact checking that right now,
dude. I'll fucking take you can blow me a kiss when I'm right, because I guarantee you I'm right.
Oh, god damn it.
There you go. The only I knew I was right anyways, but also if you one of the Easter eggs in this movie is when he's not learning the rain dance, the magazine he's reading has the Lion King advertisement on the back.
There's also a line in the movie where he goes, what are you, Simba?
Mm-hmm. There are a couple little wink wink nod nods, like hey, JTT, he was Simba. Well,
that line was so out of nowhere because mm-hmm. when that line popped up, I'm like, well, that's a weird thing to say because I don't really feel like he just did or said anything that would make somebody think he was Simba.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like I knew that at one point, but reading that this was his premiere, I guess, feature film.
Acting debut. So
sure.
I mean, technically, I guess you can call voice acting different, but
sure.
I think Lion King was literally just the year before.
It was 94. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So, man, I'm excited to get into this. There's a lot of movies that I haven't seen since I was very young. Yep. I haven't seen this one probably since I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, it's been 20 years easily. Probably 30 for me, because fuck. Spoiler alert, everybody, my birthday is this month, and I'm turning 40. How fucking pathetic.
You're pathetic, dude.
Ugh. Actually, I really don't give a shit. I don't. I still feel like I'm 12. I still laugh at dick and fart jokes.
Yeah. You're like, what's that guy's name in this movie? Chet? Where the older he gets, the more he just stays a child.
Is that George Lazenby?
Yes.
Is that
George Lazenby. What's his last name? It's not Lazenby.
You sure?
It's...
George Wendt. George Wendt. Yeah. Yes. George Wendt. Norm from Cheers.
Chief. Yes. Man, this movie had like a lot of faces that I forgot that were in this, and I enjoy all of them. Like George Wendt, awesome. Art LaFleur, like,
just fantastic, man.
You just see him and you know you're gonna smile the whole time. Every time he's on screen, just delivering that deadpan, like, yeah, you can't be doing that. According to the bylaws here, like,
per the rules,
per the rules. I work at the DMV.
So, like I said when we started, Shawnee, this is a one of the staples I feel almost all kid movies have is some sort of parental strife of a sort. Yeah. And you and I are both from a broken home.
Yeah.
But did you ever experience the step-parent situation?
I mean, not in this situation.
But, I mean, like, did either your parents get remarried? Or did they just, like... they both...
Well, in the situation, like... What I mean, not in this situation, I mean that, like, my mom and stepdad were together for, like, as far back as I can remember. Like, I can't remember a time that they weren't together.
Okay.
As little as I was. So, you know, we had clashes and stuff, and there are years where we definitely, well, I definitely did not like him, but we get along great now, and they've been separated for, like, almost 20 years.
So they're separated at this point. Now.
Yeah. They separated like the year after I graduated high school.
Okay. Stay together for the kids. It's a good Blink-182 song.
Yeah.
My mom never remarried, so I never went through it this way because I lived... Did you live with your mom or your dad?
I lived with my mom, and my dad remarried like 3 times, but like... I mean, never I saw him up. Every other weekend. Like,
sure.
Who fucking cares? It was... Yeah.
Whatever. My mom never did get remarried. She never, as far as I know, she never dated anybody else. But my dad did get remarried. I think I was like 8 or 9. So I remember it. I think we went to the wedding. I wasn't in the wedding. But I never had much of any issue with my stepmom. My mom or my dad and my stepmom are still together. They were actually just out here in June to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very nice time. My stepmom was actually a bit of a nice buffer because of the fact, I saw my dad very little growing up. Like,
sure.
It was supposed to be every other weekend, but it would be like once every 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's a big intimidating guy, especially when like I was fucking little. So it was nice because she was always cool, man. Because if I wanted to do something, I was always afraid to ask my dad. So I would ask my stepmom. And she would just pretty much tell my dad, like, hey, he wants to do this. Go do this. So
that's legit.
It was always nice, man. It was always, like I said, a good buffer. I never had the evil stepmom situation. Let me say it like that. Which is also common in the Disney universe.
Yes, very common.
Yeah.
I never had that either. I mean, looking back, it was fair. I mean... Fair as you can be, you know, I was the middle child and, you know, the youngest child was his. So there's always some, preferential treatment there. Uh-huh. You know, my little brother could do no wrong.
Sure.
Ever.
Was the little brother from a previous marriage or was he your half brother?
Half.
Okay. Half brother. But yeah. I guess the golden child. Mm-hmm. The new one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're all 3 years apart. We're all half siblings.
Okay.
Which is crazy. But we're all half siblings, but he could like do no wrong. And at a certain point, like my sister moved to her dad's. And so it was just the two of us. But just, I mean, looking back on it, you know, everything was about as fair as you can anticipate, sure. You know, sure. It's, but when you're a kid and you're like, why doesn't he never get in trouble? It sucks sometimes. But
yeah,
I remember seeing this movie. I was 8 when this came out. And, you know, there's never a time, I'm sure there would be a time where you'd daydream, fantasize about like, oh, I just want him to go away. But I didn't give a shit. This was just, even at 8, entertainment.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, let's dive on in.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned one of the big things in these movies was the parental strife, whether it be one dying or a divorce. I was really surprised on this rewatch how much that sex is brought up.
And, right?
And also how the movie legit just starts with his dad leaving with his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? There's no way I would have caught on what that even meant as a kid. I'd be like, oh, that's weird. But watching now, like, it's a completely, watching this movie as an adult is a completely different watch than it was when I was a kid.
Of course, yeah.
Like, I have a note written down. I took way too much notes for a movie that's like this.
It's also, here's the one thing I am looking very forward to about Kid Movie Month, buddy. Every motherfucking movie is going to be an hour and a half.
Yeah, this every is a sweet single 134. Fucking,
yep, perfecto. I know it was going to be. I was like, oh yeah, kids movies. Kids don't have long attentions. They're going to bang these out. Get them through.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I had way too many notes for something that was this short. But at one point I wrote down, Ben is a monster. What a little manipulative fuck. Like, and that's like,
yeah,
the only the kind of thing that you can see, acknowledge, and be like, wow, you're garbo, kid. When you're an adult looking mm-hmm. at this kid who's actively trying to ruin someone's yeah. life.
Not only their life, but their happiness. And the craziest part
and he's is a that good guy.
He is a fucking great guy.
Yeah.
Even when he knows that Ben is deliberately sabotaging him, he doesn't go to war with him. Like, nope. I feel you would have more prevalent in the late 90s, early 2000s. Then you would have the father, son, the father, yeah. stepdad, like warring. And then the mother finds out and she's mad at both of them. And that's what, but no, this is just Chevy Chase trying to be a good stepdad. And he's doing everything perfectly right. He's giving the kid space. He's understanding the limitations. It's a great movie about it.
When he finds out about that, his reaction of just going down and, you know, talking to Sandy or Sandra and being like, he's on the phone and just sitting down and just kind of being depressed and like broken and being like, wow, that really hurts. Was mm-hmm. it like felt so real and yeah. his reaction in that moment, whether it be in that moment or like later on in the movie when his brakes are cut and not wanting to say that to like protect, like
to not make like, them worry
and yeah. not make them worry. It's like he knows that he messed up and like no matter how. Like Sandy keeps being like, how could you do this? This was a promise, blah, blah, blah. Like at no point in front of him does he go like somebody literally tried to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could have easily taken the easy way out, but this just felt so much more mature and so much more real than what I expected from this movie. And so Ben being that awful made like the connection that they got feel that much more impactful. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was so well done.
Well, I think it's probably good too, because like I feel a lot of times kids are shits because, spoiler alert, kid brains aren't fully formed, man. Like they don't really know how to handle emotions and things yeah. of that nature. So they are little fucking shitheads, especially in a lot of these situations. Mm-hmm. What was crazy to me watching this man was like This is the most grounded Chevy Chase performance I've ever seen. Like, he's always generally the wacky, zip zany guy with, like, you know, he's just larger than life and goofy. But man, he is very restrained, very dad-esque in this flick.
Pretty much every one of the other dads in the Indian Guide group is the goofy one, and animated or whatever, whether it be Chet the chief or whether it be Lloyd, the silent guy that's constantly just miming all the time, or Red Sweeney, Silver Fox, Art LaFleur's character. Like,
that's a they great are name too.
All so over the top that, like, in juxtaposition of Chevy Chase's Jack, who ends up going by, what's his name? Squatting Dog. They are just so much more over the top. What a good
And it's crazy, because Chevy Chase especially is known for, like, physical comedy. That's, like, what the guy does. And I was shocked. There's very little physical comedy in this. I remember there's the skateboard, and there's the bed, the cot that, like, breaks.
Yeah.
And but even those are very mild.
Maybe the grapefruit, but even that was...
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if I would count that.
Nah, that's... And again... I feel George Wendt is funnier there because he just puts it in his mouth and runs off, whereas Chevy is still trying to get it the correct way.
Yeah.
It's man, it was weird seeing it.
There's so much feels in this movie and so much realness. So quick rundown of this. You've got Ben and his mom Sandy, played by Farrah Fawcett.
That was the joke I was going to make earlier. A different joke. Well, you said something about it being fair, and I was just going to be like, oh, like Farrah Fawcett?
Oh, yeah.
That was 100%.
Yeah. So you got the two of them after his dad left with his secretary. They move into this, what they call a quaint little apartment downtown.
That place is fucking sick, dude.
That's what I thought. The way he described it, makes it sound like it's an absolute dump, but that place was sick.
And he had roof access right next to his bedroom? Dude, I would love that place as a kid.
Right. He's like, oh, but she's really good at indoor stuff, and so she made it work. No, motherfucker. Like, that place could be empty, and I wanted to be there.
Also, this is downtown fucking Seattle that they live now. Gorgeous and she's an artist. What the fuck?
Man, her in, like, the welding mask later, just doing, like, steel art. Like, Jesus, you're a badass.
I also loved she's also just a court artist, too, because she's drawing him at one point in the courtroom. But I think that was just to see the mean guys. That was a plot device.
Yeah, so from that point, he's like, it was just the two of us. You know, he's the man of the house. Just the two of them for years. I think it's like 5 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And he thought that things would never change. Surprise, motherfuckers. She meets a guy who is a U.S. attorney who just put away this big old mob guy, Frank. We know, they don't know, but we know that Frank's son, Joey, is now going to be wanting to get some revenge. Things start getting a little serious. You got Jack, who's going to move in, and Ben is not thrilled by that. Jack's done all of his research, how to be a step-parent, blah-de-blah-de-blah, trying his hardest, as we already talked about. Like, this is a good guy. But Ben, with his little child brain, can't handle change, someone taking his mom away from him, is actively trying to sabotage this. At every chance he gets, he ends up, him and his friend, Monroe, find this kid in a locker. This kid's name is Norman, and they end up opening the locker. And did you know, was the lock just not locked?
No, it's Norman's locker, so he tells him the combination.
Yeah, but it cuts to him, like, he doesn't even twist it.
I saw his fingers twisting it.
Yeah, his hands go like this, but the knob doesn't move at all. The numbers stay in the same spot.
I didn't notice that.
So I was like, what is he doing? Anyways, they meet Norman. He is wearing some Native American garb. And they're like, what's the deal with this? This is why you're getting your ass kicked and shoved in a locker. And that's when he says he's part of the Indian Guides.
There we go. Guild. I loved that you, even I naturally do it too. The correct nomenclature now we know is Native American. It's so funny to me that even in like 95, they were still calling people Indians.
And it's so on the nose that there is a scene later. We'll get to the scene after, but there is a scene later where he comes into court and it looks like he has war paint on. And he gets reprimanded in an office being like, this is 1995. It's called political correctness. You can't come in wearing war paint. It's like, motherfuckers, yes, but you're still calling everything Indian. Like
exactly. Yeah, right. And there is an actual Native American guy here.
Yes. Red Crow is literally there.
But I think he even calls himself an Indian, which is probably more from the writers. And, yeah. But it was, again, just wild looking back how far we've come, man. And then
I think this was before Indian in the Cupboard, too.
I feel that was maybe... Was that JTT as well?
No, definitely not.
It's not?
Indian in the Cupboard was also 1995. So this was a problematic year.
But I feel Indian in the Cupboard is like a book from the 50s, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's an old book, for sure.
Yeah.
It was very awkward. I think we also did that one on Nerdy Thursday years and years ago. And boy, that was awkward to go back to.
But yeah. I don't even remember that movie.
There's so much stuff from... We already know from the 80s, you know, there's so much problematic stuff from the 80s.
Talking about bundles of sticks like it's going out of style.
Exactly. You don't realize until you go back and watch some of the stuff from the 90s, some of the things that you hear and you're like, Jesus Christ, things are so much different than like when we were 10.
Here's another trope that I feel like is just a Hollywood thing that spans out. Like, I wonder if it was bigger in the 50s and 60s when, like, these writers of these movies were kids. Because, like, I have never in high school taken a shower with other dudes in my gym class, but that is in every fucking Hollywood thing. I've also never, seen or been stuffed in a locker. Mm. Ever. But yet, that is another common trope that happens to the nerdy kids.
Yeah.
I feel I would be terrified if somebody shoved me in a locker.
That might just be something that's a little bit before our time. And, you know, that's just a hanger on to. And, like, the showering thing. I feel like that's something from 60s, 70s that just for like some reason was still, I don't know, cinematized.
It's part of that. I think it's from... The writers who are now grown-ups, and that's not really a thing now, but it still just perpetuates. And now, like, even in our current year of 2024, it's still just such a stereotype that they still use it. But, like, you know kids are not fucking showering at school nowadays with all these fucking super insane people.
Yeah. The only time, like, I used to think about that and when I was in school, I'm like, oh, man, I hope we don't have to, like... shower together or anything, and that's not because I cared, but also like I just didn't get along with a lot of people, so it's like I don't want to shower with you, that's weird. But that was definitely something for sports or whatever, but not just like your average
gym class
and let's go
and then take a shower
scrub our asses.
Yeah, like even it's a common thing in American Dad, a cartoon that I love now that is still being produced. I've seen like three skits where like, you know, Steve is at high school and he's got to get in the shower. And it's like, nobody does this.
No, no.
But
so weird. So they pull out Norman. He explains the whole Indian Guides group thing.
It's like a fake Boy Scouts because they can't use Boy Scouts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they lean real heavy into the Native American stuff. And it dawns on him. He's like, oh, this would probably be a great way to try to drive Jack away. Like, this sounds awful. And sure enough, at the first meeting, Jack just looks like this is the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good guy, thinks that Ben is into it, and so he just keeps making an honest attempt. And Sweetheart. When Ben realizes that that's not going to work, he starts acting uninterested until you have Jack bring in the Native American from the court thing, and they do the whole rain dance mm-hmm. scene, which is just a fantastic way to cram like 3 weeks worth of time into one scene where everybody's wearing the same clothes.
We need a montage.
Yeah.
Montage.
It was during this moment that I've remembered I saw this in theaters because I okay. thought this kicked so much ass.
As a kid?
And as I sat there on the couch, I thought to myself, I still think this kicks so much ass.
I was very impressed with that they actually choreographed out the dance and everybody did it at the end. Like,
yeah.
And then the little the icing dances on top were so that much it rains. Fun. It actually rained, too. It worked.
It was a sun shower, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was still bright out, and it was coming down. It was really cool.
I also really liked JTT at one point says, he's like, we're in Seattle. We don't need a rain dance.
Well, he thinks making it rain.
Ooh, he got him. Got him.
Get wrecked, kid. So also, that starts with Ben just, like, not being into it. And by the end of it, he's fully into it, and you start to really see the connection between him and Jack. They're really getting along, and from there he hangs out with Norman, even though he doesn't want to initially, and they form a really close bond. Dude, just like Norman doesn't have any friends. He's mm-hmm. had like, and I wouldn't say that Ben's being his friend out of pity, but there's definitely a point where it's like, aw. And then they actually become like really good friends, and that's cool.
And what do they bond over?
What's up?
What do they bond over?
Video games.
What did we bond over, Sean?
Video games.
I know. It's the fucking great unifier, bro.
God damn it. Let's go. Through the course of the movie, we also find out that Norman's dad, Chet, is actually his stepdad. So mm-hmm. we found that out relatively early and offers Jack, if he ever has any questions, anything to come to him for advice. Chet went through something very similar with Norman's mom, and that he was trying to, you know, he was afraid that he was going to take his mom away from him and blah, blah. So they connect pretty well, and they have this big canoe trip planned. Unfortunately for Jack, our boy Joey that we mentioned earlier, the mobster's son, him and his cohorts cut his brake line. And we had a pretty cool scene where his car couldn't stop and he launches into a river.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, brokenhearted, they waited as long as they could.
Yeah, Ben was waiting to go on the big canoe trip, and they were supposed to leave at noon. And then it's almost 1 o'clock and they have to leave so they can still make it. But they can't take Ben because Ben's dad isn't there, and you need two people for the canoe. And I like this, though. Again, this showed that it was mid-90s because at no point in today's era would you just leave a kid to walk home by uh-huh. himself. Yeah. Especially in downtown Seattle. Downtown
Those
anywhere, I don't care.
Times, man. Yeah,
but they're just like, all right, well, we're going to go canoe and you can get home, right? All right, love you, buddy, bye.
Yeah. There's like very few things that jumped out to me while watching this movie where I thought this just screams 90s or uh-huh. this screams of a different era. Like, they did a very good job of making this relatively timeless, mm-hmm. Barring language and whatever. But like the Game Gear and the fact that as soon as that exact scene that you just mentioned, I think Sarah said something. I'm like, man, that was like my childhood. I was mm-hmm. never home. I was like 8 years old, 2 miles from home, riding my bike.
It's also one of those in current eras, like, yeah, they would just call his cell phone. They would have to do something like,
yeah,
his cell phone got ruined when he went in the bay or whatever. And, well, he's just not answering. Oh, he's not answering because he hates me. He's dodging my call. Ugh.
Yeah.
Quick stop to shut up. Man, I got to say, for the most part, all child actors generally suck. But JTT and Macaulay Culkin are in that upper echelon, man. JTT is real fucking good in this flick.
he knocked it out of the park. Whether it be in like that mischievous kid that's just trying to pull some shit, or this scene right here where you just see, like, you can see the moment where his heart breaks and like he just sobs there before going home and letting his mom know what happened. Like, he never showed up. And like, my heart broke for him watching this kid, this journey that he had with this guy and building that trust, and then just feeling like that trust was ripped away and that this guy betrayed or didn't show up for him. That sucked, man. But the way that this movie really played off of that, whether it be, you know, Jack really trying to make amends and say it was something seriously out of his control, making it up with the promise of, you know, 4th of July camp out, let's do that, to going into the office and then being like, hey, your brake lines were cut. We got to send you to Portland. And be like, I can't do that. I got a camping trip to go on, my dudes.
Not happening, man. It was
really great. And then they go on the camping trip. JTT has a game gear that probably lasts. It's on screen for all of like 4 minutes. And I think the batteries lasted 3 minutes longer than they should have. We had the comedic tent putting up scene between.
That was the other physical comedy aspect. I remember that. I was like, okay, yeah, this is good Chevy Chase stuff. And he played really well with the mute mime guy.
Yeah.
I like that bit too.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen that scene a bit longer.
I thought that as well, but also at the same time, because there's not enough of it in the film that when this happens, I'm like, man, that dude should be in a hospital right now.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's getting smoked with a mini sledge.
Like a metal one, too. It's not like a rubber mallet. He hits himself twice in the face.
Yeah. It's not some doinky doink ha 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 thing. But, you know, they tell a campfire story, blah de blah. Ben goes off. He's being sulky McSulkerston. He finds the guys, you know, just catching fish with their bare hands, talking about killing them.
In a full suit. I love that. He's in the fucking river in his full suit catching fish by hand. The big galoot. Yes.
There are a couple of scenes I want to talk about after. Okay. And that will come back. So they rally together. They come up with this plan. I don't know what the plan was, because they, like, the way that it happened, they end up getting caught and the other ones just saved the day. Mm-hmm. And so what was the actual plan? Was it to get caught? It couldn't have been, because they went and got the beehive and they're trying to Katniss Everdeen the shit out of these guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, they did, but immediately get caught. The day gets saved and you got Jack, Mary, and Sandy, and it's a wonderful ending. And now we can get into the fun stuff.
I like the George Wendt stuff at the end when he's playing with his son and he's just making the faces and the mom's trying to tell him stuff. That the mime guy walking over the crowd at the end with like his legs going over people's heads.
Dude, he was just like bonking his dong on everybody's head. It honestly, I laughed because that's how, if I'm laying anywhere, how Rupert just acts. He'll hop up on the couch and just like rub his dong on my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you didn't get have to walk past my face like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
they can't
dogs.
Help it. JTT though, man. Again, I just want to shout out, child actors generally always are a distraction. They're not good. But damn, I feel this kid should have done even more. Also, crazy fact, they originally wanted Tim Allen for this movie to star alongside JTT.
That is one of those mandala effect things. If you, if we talked about this movie, like if you described what it was, like it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas, him and his mom, they end up joining this Native American thing, they go on a camping trip, my mind would have envisioned Tim Allen, because Tim Allen was in every movie like this in the mid-90s. Like it feels like that was his wheelhouse.
He was shooting The Santa Claus at the same time. Him and JTT were shooting both these movies during their summer break from Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason Tim Allen didn't want to do this movie, because he didn't want people to associate, because he would just be playing JTT's dad again, which he already does that on TV. And he's like, that's not different enough for either of us. Right. I'm going to go do this other thing. And I think, yeah, kudos to you, Tim Allen.
It was a good decision. He also ended up doing like Jungle to Jungle relatively.
Spoiler alert, that's my second movie.
Is it really?
That's why I wanted to do Jungle to Jungle next. That's what I want to do.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Which that one has, who's in that one? That's not Devin Sawa, is it?
No, I thought today it was Paul Dano, but it's the guy from fucking Detroit Rock City.
I'm looking. Sam Huntington?
Yes, Sam Huntington.
All right. Oh, man. Yeah, yep. And he had that long hair in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, that Jungle to Jungle is Tim Allen.
Yep.
So we'll get there. That's funny that you finally said it, because I was going to save it and be like, yeah, my next one's Jungle to Jungle.
That's fantastic.
I've already picked it, unless those other dickwads go for it. And then I don't think they will, though.
Yeah, you already said this one. You already said it here, and claimed now it. You just claimed dibs on it. So as far as I know, I have a backlog of things to listen to, so I don't know if they've said it. But
as soon as you said there was an extra month, I already picked that one too. You want to know what else I got?
What you got?
So I think the other one that I wanted to do, but I was like, oh, I'd rather do Jungle to Jungle, Homeward Bound.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do The Mighty Ducks is going to be my birthday one.
Okay.
So that is in 3 weeks. I don't know what I'm doing for next week yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So, folks, five out of the 4 weeks.
We're putting them out there to see if those guys start aping our style, Donkey Konging our style even more.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jungle to Jungle, Homeward Bound, Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks 1 or 2?
1. I would prefer to do 2, but I don't want to jump into a sequel without doing the first one.
We got to do things right, man. We got to establish some rules here, bro.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I feel like we've already done this wrong prior somewhere, somehow. But
I'm sure.
I really don't want to. Let's see what comes up if I type in Jungle to Jungle. Anyways, so what I was going to bring up was that there are two really weird scenes in this movie. Really weird. Okay. That stand out and made me laugh out loud.
Talk to me about them, baby.
They are going through the woods, going to their camping trip, right? And mm-hmm. they walk and, you know, they walk through a spot and they, you know, a couple seconds go by. And it just pans over, and the three Italian guys
are just right there.
They're literally right there. Like, with you had to walk past these three guys in suits to get to where you're going. And
I noticed that too.
Laughed.
Yeah, I also was like, "What the fuck is this?" It's funny you brought that up. I'm glad that stuck out to you too.
And then, very shortly later, there is a scene where, you know, they're cutting down the beehive, whatever. And I'm like, oh, they're Katniss Everdeening this. Oh, what are they going to do? Because I forgot. And you've got Ben walking around tearing off beads from his shirt. And he's leaving them all over the place. Because, okay, he's making them feel like the smartest trackers alive. Mm-hmm. When if you miss that, you're just stupid. So he puts one on a tree branch, and along comes this guy, and he's like, oh, they gotta be close. Here's one right here. And like, he looks up, and not 4 feet in front of him, in the middle of the trail, like he wasn't even hiding. Ben is just standing there in the middle of the trail where this guy was walking to. It's like, man, you feel like he's close because his bead is right here? You had to be staring at him mm-hmm. while you were walking this whole time. So weird how obviously stupid that scene was.
It's funny. What's the one that really caught me off guard? Well, the two, because same with you. Just turning the camera 3 feet to the right, and there's three fully dressed men in suits in the middle of the woods that nobody noticed. I was like, okay.
Not even in coverage.
Yeah. They're just literally standing shoulder to shoulder, not even crouched, just standing right there. I was like, okay, whatever. But then when they go full Looney Tunes and they're standing next to like three piles of like dynamite like
bundles,
giant red dynamite. And then like when it pans over and there's just cases that say explosives, that nobody's just going to leave dynamite in the middle of the fucking woods, dude.
No.
it doesn't fucking matter.
It was like the random zip line above this mine shaft that you got Art riding down on. I'm like, why is this here? Why is there a mine shaft right here? Why is there dynamite everywhere?
Yeah.
In the middle of like the Seattle woods.
I was like, this is cartoon. We're in cartoon territory, because it's literally just cartoonishly huge piles of dynamite. And they're just like, they've got this slow fuse and they're just standing there. It's like, dude, that much dynamite would literally kill you.
Yeah.
If you're within like 500 feet of it.
If the dude had a mustache, he would have been doing the twirl. I'm going to kill you.
Very much
so. If there was a train track, I feel like this movie, he would have tied them to a train track. Dudley Do-Right of these guys. But this scene was also pretty funny. As you've got Ben the whole movie joking that Jack's going to boil their skulls in acid. And he's got this crazy mind about killers and shit. But they're like, wow, you're so boring. You're just going to kill us, trap us in a mine shaft? Boo. And Ben just going through all of the different things that they could do to them. Yeah, you could drill a head and hole in the back of her head and make it look like an industrial accident.
It's like, how would that look like an industrial accident, though? I don't understand that part. And
that was what made it so funny to me.
An industrial accident where? You're in the middle of the fucking woods.
Exactly. You got to be more creative. Toss us off a cliff onto some rocks. That's boring. Drill a hole in our heads first.
Oh, yeah, that was the other part. So wait, are they going to drill the holes in your head and then throw you off the cliff?
Yeah.
How does that look like an industrial accident?
No idea.
None of this makes sense, Ben.
None. But the rawhide thing, that was sick.
That was a good one.
You're a sick
kid. I think that was an actual method of torture, to be honest with you.
That's sick.
Which is not surprising that Ben knew that, because I also loved learning and reading about all that shit as a kid.
Yeah.
It's weird because it super affects me now. I think, again, because kid brain isn't developed, you think cool. But like thinking now, like, God damn, what a terrible fucking way to go out of this world.
Absolutely. But you also don't grasp that when you're a kid.
Exactly. Yeah.
My dad used to work at a mall, and like on weekends that I was with him and he had to work, I'd go with him to the mall and I'd just walk around the mall his entire shift. So I'd end up being in like a Walden Books or whatever the hell it was called back then. And I would just sit there and just read through like serial killer books. I'm like, man, how did this person kill people? And now, like, I'd be like, shit, man, you were just bathing in blood? What is wrong with you? Jesus. Crazy. They should make a movie about you.
I will say, like, the one thing, I really did also enjoy this movie a lot. If I could say one bad thing about it, it was shocking to me that as a kid's movie, it overall felt a little bland. Like,
yeah,
I expected more wacky zaniness, and I felt like I remembered that more with my nostalgia glasses than what actually ended up being. This is just a grounded movie about a stepdad. The wackiest it gets is at the end that they arrest these three hardened mobster criminals with child bow and arrows in the middle of the woods. And then, like, they just, it's one of those classics, like, they have the guy surrounded, and then they just kind of push him in the back to make, they're like, oh, we got you now. And the guys just go along with it.
Yeah.
Knowing they're going to get arrested. Like, no, mobsters will fucking kill people to not go to jail. Like, they're going to run, they're going to fight. It's so funny. But again, we're turning the hero glasses on and being like, oh no, we're the good guys. We caught you, bad guys.
Well, it was like the whole movie was so grounded until they had them in the entrance of the mine shaft. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it turned in, like, for the next 5 minutes, turned into something completely different. That was, like you said, the zany thing, but also like almost It's almost like being the hero from a kid's point of view.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
the rest of the movie is so grounded and feels so real. Mm-hmm. It was, you're right. It was a little off-putting there. The rest of the movie felt like it would be a movie that I would just watch anytime. It didn't feel wacky, zany. Yeah. It was a normal ass flick.
And like I said, even what I was expecting when I knew Chevy Chase was in this, I expected a lot of like physical slapsticky comedy. And it just shocked me how little there actually was in it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, not saying I actually really did enjoy this movie. I thought it was great performances. It had a fucking cohesive, easy to follow story, which is great for kids movies. It had a good message, a good lesson, which I feel almost all kids movies have too, to like mm-hmm. help your kids grow up. You can emulate JTT by loving your stepdad as long as he's not a abusive piece of shit, which Chevy Chase is not. Chevy Chase is the picturesque stepdad. So yeah.
Yeah.
I was really pleased with it overall, man, for not seeing this movie for 30 years.
I'm honestly very surprised at how low the rated this is on IMDb. It's got like a 5.2 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems, having just watched this, really like not substantially low, but I would like a 6.2 or a 6.3.
Yeah, I would have expected it a little higher, but I mean, if we're going by, even though the 10 scale system is at most anywhere now, a 7 is like a fine movie. Like I feel 5 is fairly fitting. It's a mediocre. I would give it higher myself.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, I could see like the general critical consensus staying about 5.
From whatever I see on IMDb is like 8 to 9 is like cinema, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
6 to 7 is like a good, enjoyable movie. 5 to 6 is usually like, man, this movie kind of sucks, but mm-hmm. it's not terrible.
Yeah.
That's like kind of where I get like most of the movies that I really enjoy are from the like 6.2 to 7.5 mm-hmm. on IMDb. And that's fine. That's great. And I usually rate them way higher. I was just surprised at how low this was.
Shani, speaking of, oh, go ahead.
Did you? I've got two more things to bring up before the rating.
That's what I was segueing into. So good.
I know. I went into panic because I know immediately after the rating, we usually close up. Did you notice when they were talking about guns, how ridiculous that was?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did want to bring this up, too, because it's so stupid that I feel like whoever wrote it has no idea how guns work, because the 38 would blast the shit out of that 22.
Yup.
So, and no fucking good mobster would carry a fucking 22.
Dude, I couldn't believe it when they said that. The guy, okay, for anybody who hasn't watched this and you're not going to watch this, fine, whatever. Two of the mobsters are sitting there in the car being like, oh man, I could just shoot him right now. They're staking it out. They're watching him. And the guy pulls out a 38. He's like, man, I could shoot him from here. The other guy's like, man, that won't do anything. That little 38. And he pulls out this tiny little 22. They won't even reach him from here.
They're literally across the street.
Yeah. And he goes, this though, I'll put a bullet through his brain and he'll keep on going and kill the next guy or something like that. And I'm like,
so stupid.
Your little pea shooter isn't even so making stupid. It through his skull, dude.
It's not making it through your fucking window with the window rolled down, dog. That right? shit ain't doing nothing.
I couldn't believe how I'm glad you caught that too. Stupid that line was.
I'm glad you caught that too. What was the other one that got you?
The other thing that got me, it has nothing to do with what's in the movie. What got me is the budget of this movie.
Okay.
The budget of this movie was $22 million.
Ha! Is it all the actors?
It's got to be Chevy Chase.
Well, you've got Chevy Chase, you've got George Wendt, you've got Art LaFleur, you've got Farrah Fawcett, you've got JTT. That is 5.
Okay.
Pretty big celebrities in the 90s.
Okay, but let's compare this to Long Legs now.
Yeah.
Budget of $10 million.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. $22 million. That's insane.
$22 million. So unless they are... So they filmed in San Francisco, I think, some in Canada, so maybe some locational fees. But like JTT, there's no way that his price was going to be that high. No. Farrah Fawcett, I can see. I don't think Art LaFleur or George are getting that much money. Maybe George some, but it's not that much, which leaves Farrah Fawcett and Chevy Chase. And through all the talking and blah, 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 Chevy Chase, I could see him commanding like a ton of that. But dude, $22 million 1995 dollary dues is so much. Like, that budget right now would be insane. And this movie also only made $40 million.
Fun fact, this is the most successful Chevy Chase movie ever released.
Opened at number one, baby.
Opened at number one. He's never had that. I think this made the most money out of any movie he's ever made. Which is, really? I mean, yeah, because I guess the vacation flicks, especially Christmas Vacation, didn't really blow up till like it became the cult hit years later.
Okay.
But like, yeah, and like before this, Chevy Chase needed this because he'd had three box office bombs in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of helped save his career a little bit and revitalized it. But it never, he never hit these highs before or after. His best movie was a fucking Disney kids flick.
Christmas Vacation by far blew this out of the water. $74 million over this one's $40 million. But that movie, taking this into account, that movie had a $28 million budget.
That's insane, too. Like, what year was Christmas Vacation?
What's that?
What year was Christmas Vacation?
89.
So that only was 89?
Only six years prior. Wow. Like, that, it just blows me away. When I saw that budget, I cannot believe that. I would have thought insane. $10 million tops. So
I wonder what it was for, then.
No idea.
I don't know either.
No idea.
Anyway, Shawnee, you want to rate this bad boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 5 kid asses.
Oh, no, 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 no. Ometers. No. Did you have a butt thermometer when you were a kid? Like, did
your mom threaten to pull that out? Not that I remember. I'm sure it happened as a child. I never remember it. My mom, the trick she would always do is she'd put it in the armpit.
Because
I didn't like it in the mouth, but she'd do armpit. And that was always pretty reliable.
My mom always made sure that it was known that the presence of that thermometer being in the house and the possibility of it being used made sure that you never faked being sick.
Sure.
She could tell when you were sick and she would use a normal one. Mm-hmm. But the threat looming over your head that she might pull out the butt thermometer
kept you from faking. I see.
Yeah,
I
ain't faking, dog.
I got you. I got you. I guess I think I've got a rating.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I have two. I'm trying to decide which one I want to use. So you go first in case you have one of mine.
I have two as well, but I'm going to go with... Okay, Shawnee boy.
Okay.
If you were a really inept son of a mobster...
Okay.
And you had cornered your greatest enemy who put your father away in prison
for 50
at a mineshaft in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
And you could surround him with between 1 to 10 sticks of dynamite. How many sticks of dynamite are you using to blow this guy up?
This is easy. I'm using 7 sticks.
Perfect.
I think I kind of, especially with the 1 to 10 rating, I think I revealed that when I was talking about IMDb. I found this movie to be really inoffensive. It's 1 hour and 30. It's very grounded. It does kind of... You did bring up the fact of the ending is just so much like tonally different from the rest of the movie, which you could have had a completely different ending or a more serious ending. And it didn't even have to be a kid's movie. Like, yeah, it's going to be more of a kid's movie because that's where the focal point is. And he's being a little shit trying to separate them, whatever. It's a quick 1 hour 30. I love the dynamic between the two of them. At no point was I trying to figure out how much time was left in the movie. But also, I had no problem pausing it and letting the dog out or going pee. You know, I wasn't...
You're not
going
to miss anything crucial.
Yeah, I wasn't captivated, anything like that. It was an easy watch, was not blown away. 7 out of 10, bundles of dynamite. easy for me. And I think that might be generous, but that's where I'm putting it.
Fantastic.
Okay. Do you want a higher number scale or a lower number scale? And they are drastically different.
All right. I want the lower number scale, but is the higher number scale based off of beads on a Native American vest?
No, it is based on Subhumanoid Commander 5000.
Okay, let me do the lower scale.
Okay. Kyle.
I also I do love this era of the 90s when they would just make up video game names that, you know, just a fucking middle-aged dude that's never played games trying to write something that sounds cool, like Subhuman... Yes. What the fuck ever. That was great.
Humanoid Commander. You know, somebody watched Doom for like 2 seconds once.
You saw a lot of this in like kids' TV shows too. Like where they just make up the most extreme violent sounding game. I love that shit. But okay, yeah. Hit me up, buddy.
Head Exploders from Mars. Kyle, I want you to pretend that this movie is your toothpaste, your comb, you know, you're an old ass man now. Maybe some pill bottles, bottle of Brut. And I want you to envision in your bathroom your mirror that opens up the medicine cabinet
mm-hmm.
right behind the mirror. I want you to envision your sink countertop. And underneath the sink, obviously, everybody has that door that opens, and there's the under sink cabinet there. It has two shelves. Your medicine cabinet has two, and your sink is obviously one. So starting at the floor level and going up to the very top shelf of your mirror medicine cabinet, where would you put this movie?
Oh, okay. I would put it... I would put it on the... back of the sink vanity in between the two.
Okay.
So it's not high. It's not low. It's pretty right in the middle.
Sure.
It's acceptable. Same thing as you said, man. I don't think this movie is going to blow anyone away. I probably will never watch this movie again unless I'm like somehow babysitting somebody's children of a certain age. I think it's perfect for that. But yeah. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think this movie is actually really fucking good for what it does. But overall, like I said, it's just got a lot of blandness, which you kind of expect from a kid's movie, too. Like,
sure.
But just maybe personal bias with Chevy Chase. Like I said, I expected a little more physical comedy. But I kind of get why it's not there, because he is playing a more serious character, too. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to respect him as the fatherly figure. He's not the lovable doofus. He has a strong, reliable male figure for Ben to look up to. And for that, I think, honestly, Chevy Chase nails it. Like I said, JTT nails it. Honestly, I could have done without Farrah Fawcett. I kind of feel she's a bit plug-in-able here. She could have been almost anybody. She doesn't do anything great in this flick.
Probably would have driven the budget down a little bit.
Maybe, probably. I do know that.
Make this movie some more money.
But yeah, I'd put it right there on the back row. On the sink. So it's easily accessible. But yeah.
Sure. I don't think this is maybe on Disney Plus. You can watch this for free.
It is on Disney Plus for free. But
it isn't super easily accessible unless you have that. So like, I never plan on watching this again. I don't have Disney Plus. I don't plan on having Disney Plus. And I'm not going to pay to rent this. Thanks, Kyle.
Hey, that's what we do. We trade off, baby.
Yeah, so, like, I never anticipate ever spending money on this again, but sure. it was good. It was inoffensive.
There we go. Well, all right, man. I like that we're doing this. It's so funny that we're on the same mental wavelength as our good buddies over at Beer Me.
Yeah.
I just was in communication with Dave. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing the rest of the month so we know if we need to call any audibles?
Yeah. Oh, my
God. So we'll figure it out.
I cannot believe that we're,
that's so like, funny.
I can't believe that the amount of times that, like, through various podcasts that we've been on, like, how often things just perfectly line up like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird.
So you don't know what you want to do for next week yet? It's okay if you don't, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Actually, you know what? Did you send that? You sent that list to me on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Go ahead and look through it a bit.
I'm going to mention to you how much it made me laugh, but also we mentioned earlier how weird it was to hear them say Indian a lot and whatnot. I actually laughed out loud when he's like, yes, our greeting is, hey, how are ya? It's like, are you fucking serious right now? That's what you're doing?
Yeah.
Where the fuck did you send this to me?
I sent it to you in our group chat. Just a little bit up.
Oh, you sent me an IMDb list.
Yeah, it was an IMDb link. Okay.
Oh, Little Giants.
You want to do Little Giants? I'd do Little Giants.
Yeah, Little Giants. Without okay. a doubt, that is the first thing that popped out to me.
Yeah.
When you sent the list. Man, I have so many memories about the Little Giants, but I don't remember it completely. Man, there's so much stuff that could be done on here. Free Willy. I saw that shit in theaters.
I saw Free Willy in theaters, and I watched that one a lot as a kid. I thought about it, but I also figure...
Yeah.
This might be a well that we dip back into as well. So
no, it's a movie that you shouldn't watch again. This is for all those listeners at home. Don't go back and watch Blank Check.
No, do not.
Don't.
Here's the thing.
It's
I didn't like Blank Check as a kid. There's also this other shitty one about a kid that fights off robbers with RC cars. Do you remember this?
I don't.
Fuck, what is the name of that one?
Are you thinking of Home Alone 3?
I don't think so. That's let me look this up.
Dude, I think it might be Home Alone.
It's 3. Not. I know it's not a Home Alone.
Okay. A
movie where kid saves house with RC vehicles. It is called.
So going into this, one of the movies that I had on my had in my mind was First Kid. And I forgot about it when we were just talking.
I think it's just called. It is. It's called Remote. It's from 93.
Really?
Yeah. I hate this movie, though.
Oh, okay.
Hated it.
I don't... What's the rating on that?
Fuck. Where is it? Six...
I saw a Tom
in
fucking theaters, too.
It's got a 5.0 as well? That's crazy. This movie sucks way more than Man of the House.
Looking through this list, the average rating is like a 5.9.
Yeah, of course. I mean, come on.
Kind
of
funny.
But what are you going through, man?
What's gonna do? Little Giants next week.
Yep.
And then whatever you said for you.
What? Oh, Jungle to Jungle. And then
Mighty Ducks.
And then Homeward Bound.
All right. Send me that list because I'm going to forget in about 4 minutes.
All right. I'm going to send it to Dave anyways, and then we'll have it. So.
But before you send that, Kyle, what can you have the audience go do?
I tell you what. They can go stepfather themselves.
Like, there's so many of these that just didn't in so many different other places. Yeah. Matilda's a good shout.
Sean.
Okay, sure. Kyle.
Sean.
Yo.
Would you rather get shoved in a locker and have it be closed and locked on you?
That was literally, if it was my week, that was one of my options.
Okay. The other one is, would you rather be in a car that drives into the bay of the ocean and you have to get out?
How long am I locked in the locker?
Until somebody rescues you. In both instances, you're locked in something.
I mean, the locker for sure, because the risk of death is quite
way
minimal.
Higher.
Yeah. Well, in the locker is way more minimal. I was also thinking to myself when they both got locked in there, that was a very funny scene, but when they both got locked in there, like, is there somebody at the end of the day that just walks around and checks to see if there's a kid stuck in a locker? Like, has there ever in the history of time been a kid that just got locked in a locker overnight? Because, like, some janitor heard that, was like, that ain't my problem.
Or he has his headphones in mopping. Mop, mop, mop all day long. All right, buddy. I look forward to being a kid with you again next week, pal.
Yes.